Okay. With the Baruch HaOne and the prayers of Hanukkah, I know people have the activities this evening, familial obligations, etc. But wanted to give the shiur anyway, just this one up to be mevatel shiur, also to have the opportunity to go through some Yanam Rekavat Hanukkah. The question I'd like to begin with is, it is a halacha l'maisa question, although I'm not convinced it comes up all that often, although it could, but I'd like to deal with it because it will give us an opportunity to go through some of the classic discussions in the Gemara and the poskim that relate to Hanukkah. The question is the following. Let's say you have a person who benches on the Hanukkah candles, lights the Hanukkah candles, then he has to leave. He has to go someplace, a plane to catch or something, he has to leave right away, and no one's going to be home. And the person doesn't want to leave lit candles burning in the house for fire reasons and so on and so forth. It's understandable. Is the person allowed to light the candles and blow them out pretty much right away? He, at the time that he lights, he knows he's going to have to blow them out. It's for a good reason, or whatever reason, he has to go someplace. So we all know, preferably, you have to burn for half an hour, and then, but here, for whatever reason, the person doesn't have any time, he's rushing to catch a plane, he lights the Hanukkah candles, and he wants to be able to blow them out right away. Can he light under those circumstances with a bracha, not with a bracha, and so on? That's the question. And as I say, it's a possible question that could come up, but I'd like to use it as a springboard, as I mentioned, to examine some inyanim. So the classic inyan that relate to Hanukkah. The principal sugyas we know for the halacha of Hanukkah in the Gemara comes in the second parak of Masechet Shabbos. The parak is called Bamen Adlikin. We say over the Mishnayos on Friday night. It comes up there because the Mishnayos begin by talking about what types of oils and wicks, etc., are suitable for use in Shabbos candles. And while they're talking about Shabbos candles, the Gemara goes into discussion of Hanukkah candles as well. So the Gemara says in the bottom of Daf Chof Aleph Mat Aleph, Amar Avuna Psilos Ushmanim Shamar Chacham Ein Madlikim Behem B'Shabbos Ein Madlikim Behem B'Chanukah Bein B'Shabbos Bein B'Chol. Rav Huna's opinion is that the types of wicks and oils which the Gemara prohibits for Shabbos candles, and the reason being, in many of the cases, it's because, you know, they'll flicker, they'll go out, they won't burn properly, and so on, and likely to extinguish. So Rav Huna says the same types of wicks and candles that that one is prohibited from using for Shabbos candles, one should also not use for Hanukkah candles, whether it's a Shabbos Hanukkah or a weekday Hanukkah. Omar Rav my timer, the Rav Huna, Rav Rav, what's Rav Huna reason? The Kosovar Kobsa Zakukla. Umutu Ishtamish La'orah, that second part of the phrase, I'm not going to go into right now, but that's the famous statement of Kobsa Zakukla. Means that if the Hanukkah candle blows out, he is obligated to relight it. And if you've noticed that the Hanukkah candles go out, you have to relight it. And again, to keep it simple for the moment, we're afraid that the proper thing, Rashi says, Zakukla L'takna, L'hilchot Tzorach L'chatchila L'asos Yofeh, Dilma Pasha L'om V'sakimah, because we're afraid on Hanukkah night, you know, the guy will light a candle, it'll end up flickering, it'll go out, he won't be there. So the better thing is to make sure that you light with the proper types of wicks and oils, that it won't go out. Why? Because of Huna holds, says Rava, Kavsa Zakukla. So this is the introductory sugya, really, in Masechet Shabbos that brings up Ner Hanukkah, and that's the famous Kavsa Zoko according to Rav Huna, and Rav Chista Amar Madlikin Bohen Bechol Avalo B'Shabbos. Rav Chista disagrees. He says, no, the types of candles, types of wicks and oils that the Gemara says you can't use on Shabbos for Shabbos candles, you also can't use on Shabbos Hanukkah for Hanukkah candles, but weekday on Hanukkah, you can use those candles, those types of oils and wicks. In other words, again, Rav Huna says, whatever you can't use for Shabbos candles, you can't use for Hanukkah candles, whether it's a weekday or a Shabbos or Hanukkah, because Kavsa Zakukla, he holds that if it goes out, you're required to relight them. And Rav Huna Shita, Rav Chista disagrees, at the very bottom of Rav Chof Aleph Amad Aleph in Shabbos, Rav Chista disagrees and says, no, Madlikin Ben Bechol of Alobi Shabbos, just Shabbos, the same reason, you know. But on a weekday, it's okay. Why? Kosovar Kavsa Ein Zakukla. Again, in the first half of the phrase, it concerns us for the moment. Rav Chista's opinion is Kavsa Ein Zakukla. Rav Chista holds that if the Hanukkah candles happen to go out, there is no obligation to relight them. You may relight them. Of course, on Shabbos you can't. But I mean, let's say tomorrow night, tonight, tomorrow, whatever, during the week of Hanukkah, if the Hanukkah candles blow out, you're not obligated to be watching and making sure to go back and relight them. If they go out, they go out. No matter how early in the process they go out. If you lit them and then they go out later, you're not obligated to go and relight them. That's the shita of Rav Chispa. Now, in terms of our question again is about a person who lights Hanukkah candles and he wants to, he knows he has to leave right away, so he lights Hanukkah candles and wants to blow them out himself after a few minutes. That the Gemara doesn't exactly discuss. The Gemara seems to be talking about kavsa, means where it went out, blew out on its own, a wind came, or the kids banged into it, something happened and it went out by itself. But one could certainly make the case that if you hold kavsa zokot lo, if you hold like the first shita, that if they go out, you have to relight them, then there really would be not much to discuss in terms of our case. Because if they go out, you have to relight them. Certainly you can't blow them out yourself, and or plan at the time you're lighting to blow them out, because again, we'd say it causes zakah klah. So there's not much to, according to that shita,
there really isn't anything to discuss.
However, that is not the shita that we follow, l'halacha. Yep, that's not the shita that's followed the halacha. I'll just mention a shita that we follow and believe from the Rambam is like the first way. The Rambam holds in Perek. Can you say it again? Zmanim, the second line, the wrong line. Thank you very much. Yeah, right downstairs near the door in the section. So the Rambam paskins in Perek Dalad of Hilchos Chanukah Halacha Hey, I'll read the Rambam as soon as that brings it up, but right now I'll take my word for it. The Rambam says that if they go out, you are not obligated to relight them. Okay, that's the sheikh of the Rambam, and as we'll see, it's the sheikh in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Now, this being the case, I'll just mention now, we'll show inside in a second. And it's not just the Rambam. This is all the Rishonim, everybody holds that Kavsa ain't Zakukla, and therefore you're Yotze anyways. So once we say like that, now we can pose our question and say, okay, so here's a guy, it's a junk, but at least we can have a room for a suffix. At least we can say, maybe if a guy has to blow it out, it's okay to blow it out, because after all, Kavsa ain't Zakukla. Thanks so much. The Rambam, let's read the words inside now. A pair of dollars with the Sanaka of the hay. Hold on to that. Hidlika, the kavsa, if you lit the candles and it went out, eino zokuk lahadlika pa'anacheres. Can't be any more clear than that. You don't have to go back and relight it the second time. Now, the thing is, under what circumstances do we say that? It sounds like I said before from the Gemara, that's what I'm talking about, where it blew out by itself. Now, just because we paskin kotsa ein zokokla does not automatically mean that the answer to our question is yes, the guy can blow it out. Because you could argue, when do we say kotsa ein zokokla? When it went out by mistake. Because after all, what you did at the time you lit it, you did everything perfectly, right? Everything was fine. And then an unusual thing happened, the candles blew out. So we say, listen, Mamaisa, you did the action of the mitzvah properly, and now something happens, you don't have to bother to relight if you don't feel like it. That may be what we rule. That doesn't mean where the guy initially comes in with a plan to blow it out, and he not only plans to do it, but he actually does it physically, you don't necessarily have to make that jump, but you could. The Rashba, in one of his shuvahs, Shal Shuvahs Rashba, it's Chelek Aleph, Simon, right here, Chelek Aleph, Simon, Tavkov Lamites. The Rashba writes, the question is, Masha Amru Gavi Ner Chanukah Kavsa Ein Zokukla, Im La'achar Shehid Likvol Asaf Ava Kavah Oso B'Shogeg, Im Chayat La'adlika Pam Shnei Olad, V'im Yatzev Eva Kenot Zorach Lav Zohorach Olad. He says as follows, he's asked about a case, it's still not our case, but he's asked about a case of what happens if a guy, he knocked it out, it wasn't just that a wind came, he knocked it out, he was trying to fix it. Probably all of us have had that experience at one time or another, right? The wick's a little bent a little, so you try and poke it to straighten out, and then you knock it out by mistake, right? And I know I've had that experience, so I imagine other people have also. I guess if you light with the regular colored candles, that probably won't happen. If you light it with oil, until you get the wick straight or whatever, so... But here, what the Rashba says, though, is it's not stopped. We could read the Gemara Kavsa up, but if suddenly a wind came and blew it out. But the Rashba says, what if the guy actually put it out? Not on purpose. He was trying to fix the wick. It was on the side. It was tilted. It sunk too deep into the... There are a couple of experiences that we've had. So he straightens it out, and lo and behold, by mistake, he knocks it out. Does he have to relight it or not? And does he have to make a bracha? So the Rashba answers, Mistabro she'eno chayav lahadlika, dehavale kekavsa, dehadlaka osamitza ukvahidlika, He says, Mishtaber, it appears to me, even in that case, you do not have to relight it. Okay, because that's the case of Kavsov. The Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, we're going to come back to that point. The Mitzvah is to light the Hanukkah candles. He fulfilled that Mitzvah 100% properly, and therefore, he doesn't have to do anything else. Then he says, Igbala Hadlik, if he wants to go relight it, go right ahead. However, Einam Mivarach, the Mitzvah Hadlaka, but he would definitely not make a new bracha, because he already did the Mitzvah. So the Mitzvah's over with. He's done what he's supposed to do, so he's finished with his job. So that's the Yitzhakah of Rashbo. What the Rashbo adds, we've understood till now, is of course, saying even when the guy did it, so to speak, not on purpose, but he still, even though it wasn't on purpose, he still did it in an active fashion. Nevertheless, the Rashbah says you're still not required to go back. More than that, correct, and this guy did it active on Bokra, right, exactly. Correct, correct. That's the whole text of the Bokra. So, and I don't want to save time, I'm not going to read everything inside maybe, but the Prima Gadim in two places, okay, the Prima Gadim in two places, in Simon Tafresh, that's what appears in Suhar, in Simon Tafresh, Ayin Gimel, in the Mishpitzos, the Prima Gadim has a twin commentary on the major commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch. So in Orach Chaim, the two major commentaries on the side of the page are the Taz, the Magen David, and the Magen Avraham. So he has a commentary on the Magen Avraham called Eishal Avraham, a commentary on the Taz, Magen David, called Mishpitzos, the Taz is Torah Zav, so it's called the Mishpitzos Zav. So both in his commentary on the Magen Avraham, called Eishal Avraham in Shekotin Yudbeis, and his comment on the Taz, Shekotin Beis, he writes that even if the person did it on purpose, okay, if the person did it on purpose, so there the Prima Gadim says he should relight it, but still without a bracha. So the guy knocked it out on purpose, for whatever reason, he should go ahead and relight it. That's the shita of the Prima Gadim. Okay, the truth of the matter is, I have over here the Avni Nezer, the Sachach of a Rebbe, in his writings as well. He says that Rashbo would agree. This is in Simon Tov Kuf Gimel. He says, he quotes this tshuva from the Rashbo. Now he notes that the Maharshal, in one of his tshuvas, Sun Tehei, disagrees, and he says, Zokotwa umadlik bibrocha. The Avni Nezer quotes the Maharshal that if you knock it out by accident, you have to go ahead and say new bracha. Okay, now, he writes, Ubemezid, near it, afilu l'rashbo zakakwa. The Avni Nezer understands that rashbo that we just read, that that's only talk about the guy was trying to fix it, like I said before. And if I actually knocked it out, okay, but the guy would go ahead and knock it out on purpose, then zakakwa. And he says that the tamakakusam, near it, the tamar, the kofsa, ain zakakwa, the cave of the kiyama mitzvah, maisa karoi, the kimut, kiyumo, kolim maisa, the midika melel, the midika cheshu, the lobahani, lost, the kimu, the melel, the matel, the the following loans. The guy, the mitzvah, like you said, there's a bracha lahadlik. There's a maisa hablaka. So the man did a maisa, he did an action of a mitzvah. He did the action. Again, his words is, he did the maisa. So lo osi kibui de memela or mevatel maisa mitzvah. A stranger winged or something happened, one of the kids ran by and it blew out the fire. So there, the inadvertent or the, I guess, passive blowing out of the candle cannot undo the maisa hamitzvah that the person performs. Says the Avni Nezer, that's why we would say kofsa ein zokokla with regards to even in our sports where it went out by accident. Okay? But, however, thou can in keep of your dying. However, if the guy actually did it, so he says, first of all, the Maharshal would say, even though his intent may have been to fix it, but if he actually knocked it out, and our case, even if we want to go so far as the Maharshal, okay, that if the guy, he blew it out on purpose, he did an action, so then, an action, so to speak, can undo an action. Right? He can sort of reverse your action and say, in that case, we would say, kofso zokokwa, if it was done, b'mezid. However, even in that case, it's clear from the Prima Gadim I mentioned before, that Pichadosh says it, that you wouldn't make a bracha. And it seems to me that if you wouldn't make a bracha, they're not ready to go so far as to say that you're not yotzei. Otherwise, if the Avni Nezer meant it really, really seriously, that it undoes the whole mitzvah, I mean, he's saying that as a svara, but if he meant it seriously, that it undoes the mitzvah, then you could argue you have to make another bracha. The mere fact you don't have to make a bracha presents the possibility that, you know what, It's not really right, and but still, at the end of the day, you're okay. So we still cannot necessarily answer our question from anything we've seen. Of course, if you hold, like the Prima Gaon says, like the Abinader says, the Rashbo agrees, and certainly like the Maharshal, that if you blow it out on purpose, you have to relight it, then it'd be very big stress to say that you could intend to blow it out in the first place. Okay? I mean, the Baruch of Yichal. Okay, that's possible. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I wasn't here the ritual issue.
Our issue that we're starting with is the question, a guy has to light Hanukkah, and he has to run out, not after half hour, he's around 5 minutes to catch a plate, and nobody's going to be home. Can he light Hanukkah candles at that point and blow them out on purpose, because he has to leave, he doesn't want to leave a fire.
In other words, the candle before the Baruch, and he had a mind.
Right, he had a mind, right. Okay, that's the question. Okay? So again, what these poskim seem to be saying is that it's proper to relight it, you should relight it, but you wouldn't do it with a Baruch, even if it was done to Mazie, that's what it looks like. So therefore, one could argue that, you know, in our case, while we don't necessarily recommend that a person do this, we can do this. We can't go so far as to say that he didn't, he wasn't Yotzer the Mitzvah. Now, the Rashbo brought up the Sugya of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. So again, at this point, we passed him, as we saw in the Rambam, that Kavsa Ein Zakakor, you don't have to relight it. And even if you knock it out the Sugya, the Rashbo, you don't have to relight it. The Mazie, maybe you do. But even if you do, we don't go so we don't seem to go so far as to say that you're not Yotze altogether. Yeah. Okay, that's true. That's true. Right, but the question is, how long does the mitzvah pre-sum? Okay, it's a point. No question. Okay, now we come to a second sugya in Masechet Shabbos. I wanted to use this question just as a springboard to touch on some of the famous sugyas in Masechet Shabbos and Chanukah. So one of the famous sugyas, the first one is the Kavsa Zakakor, Kavsa Ein Zakakor issue. Related to it, although ironically enough, not related to it by the Gemara, is the sugya of what exactly is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. You mentioned the Brocha LaHadli. The Gemara has a discussion starting on Chav Beis, on the Beis, on Shabbos. The Gemara says, the question is, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or Hanukha Osa Mitzvah? What is the defining moment? Is it the act of lighting? Or is it the placement of the menorah in the place where you're going to get Pesim and Isha, the way we do it in the window or on the porch, wherever you like? What is the defining moment of the mitzvah? The nafkamina will be, can I go ahead, well, let's say I'm in my kitchen or whatever, let's say I'm lighting outside in Eretz Yisrael. It's a little chilly, so I have all the kitchen. So I light the menorah in the house, where it's comfortable, everybody's there, and then I'll bring the menorah outside and put it in a proper place. Or I'm going to leave it in the family room or in one of the rooms in the house that's a little crowded in there. So we'll light all the family over here in the kitchen, everybody's here, we'll light it, it gets messy, so it's easy to clean up, and then we'll transfer the menorahs over to the window. So if you hold Hanukha Osa Mitzvah, there's nothing wrong with that. However, if you hold Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, the defining moment of the mitzvah is when you light the candle, which means at that point it has to be in a place where you're going to get the maximum Pesim and Issa. You can't bring it over later. So that's the, in a nutshell, discussion. And the Gemara has a number of nafkaminas, a number of cases starting on Chav Beis and Beis in Shabbos. And the Gemara concludes on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. And where it concludes, Shema Minah, they bring riots, and one of the riots is, which you mentioned, the old Midakar Mavarachan Asher Kiddushanam and Chosav Vitzvon Lahadlik Merisho Chanukah, the loss of the Bracha is Lahadlik. The Gemara says, Shema Minah, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, Shema Minah. The Gemara Paskin, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Now it's interesting, the Gemara does not equate the two cases, the two sugyas. The one sugya was in the bottom of Chaf Aleph and Aleph going over to Chaf Aleph and Beis, and the second sugya was Chaf Beis and Beis going over to Chaf Gimel and Aleph. You could have thought a svara to equate them. You could have said that if you hold Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, right, that the Maisa HaMitzvah is the Iker lighting the candles, so then we would pass in Kavsa Ein Zakakor, right? If the Mitzvah is lighting it, so then it follows that if it goes out, you don't have to relight it because you already lit it. Whereas if you hold Hanukha Mitzvah, maybe you hold the other way. You could, you know, logically you could have set up such an equation. The Gemara doesn't. The Gemara completely divorces the sugyas. But as we saw in the Rashba does not divorce. The Rashba sort of seems to say that one of the reasons why Kavsa Ein Zakakor is because Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, right? The Maisa HaMitzvah is the lighting. Now, one could argue, yeah, the Maisa HaMitzvah is the lighting, but there are really two parts of the Mitzvah. There's the Maisa, which is the lighting, and there's the Kiyum, as that Sifmo said correctly, there's the Kiyum of Priest of Ainisa. It's sort of like, just by a parallel, you know, like when you put up a mezuzah. The Maisa HaMitzvah is banging the mezuzah into the doorpost, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah is for the next 30 years, and there's a mezuzah on a doorpost, right? And so the kiyum is having a mezuzah. So oftentimes in many mitzvahs, the mice and the kiyum come together. Let's say when I pick up the lulav and esek, the mice and mitzvah is picking up the lulav and esek, and the kiyum and mitzvah is picking up, it's the same thing. By many mitzvahs, it comes together. But there are mitzvahs where the mice and the kiyum, the action and the fulfillment, are separated. So one could say that even if you would hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, yeah, but hadlaka osa mitzvah means it has to be the type of hadlaka where it will burn for the requisite amount of time. So it's not automatic that hadlaka osa mitzvah automatically means kofsa aims up a call. You know, you could configure it the other way. Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, you told me earlier, yeah, asked about what you're allowed, if you can't put by the window, that you're allowed to put
something else
even in this matter. So therefore, there's
a question. Right, but the thing is, no, but it has to be
the... Then it's okay. So
right. Let's say for whatever reason. Right. So can we say today the principal pursuing nisa is in the household? So you have your wife there. But let's say, I don't know, you light it outside, someone, you carry it in. You can make up whatever case. And my point is not the window situation. My point is it has to burn in a place where you get publicized in the miracle, even if it's just publicizing it to the members of your household. Right, but it's got, and the question, I'm not asking, huh? Yeah, if you lit it on the ground, you lit it, you know, in the closet, someone, you had to take it out, in the attic. Right, if you lit it very high up, you know, for some reason, then you brought it downstairs. I mean, whatever case you want to come up with, you know, you could argue that the hadlokos and mitzvah versus hanokos and mitzvah. But anyway, that's the sugya at the Shabbos Chofez on Beis, Chofez on Beis, Chofkimom and Aleph. And the Rambam Paskins on that one, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Tes, the Rambam says, Ner Chanukah, the Iker is the lighting, and for example, that's why if it was lit by somebody who's Potter and Mitzvah, so this is a practical difference, let's say it was lit by a little kid, or by a Cheresh, a Shelter Kotten, somebody who's Potter for the Mitzvah, the Rambam writes, Ner Chanukah, Shiluk, Cheresh, Shelter Kotten, Akum, even a guy, Lo Asa Klum, Ad Shiz, Le Keno, Mishu, Chayab, Ad Loka, has to be written by, lit by somebody who is Chayab, okay, and I'm skipping a few words, and then he says, Shehadloka hi ha-mitzvah, below ha-anacha. So Rambam Paskins again, hadloka osa mitzvah. Now, one could therefore say, in our question, well, even if this guy's going to blow it out 5 minutes later, Lamaisa, hadloka osa mitzvah. Did he light Hanukkah candles? Yes. Was it lit in a place, in a window, in a proper place? Yes. Was it the proper spot, whatever? Yes, he did everything right. So hadloka osa mitzvah's done. So one could make that case, and that could be the answer to our question. It's okay to blow it out, but again, maybe not. Because maybe when do we say hadloka osa mitzvah? We're only going to say hadloka osa mitzvah, Well, that's what we're going to get to in a second, but maybe it's hadloka osa mitzvah if at the time of the hadloka, I lit it with the right amount of oil to burn for half an hour. Now, if something strange happened, it blew out, it's a kol shein zakah klal. But I'm trying to point out, again, the two sides. One could say that since hadloka osa mitzvah, so in our case, the guy can blow it out. So somebody blow it out and go to the airport. But, yeah.
We introduced kol shein zakah klal
for oils, right.
Right, so that's it.
Right, I'm saying, right. I'm saying, you could go either way. I'm just trying to say, there's no right, is what I'm saying. Correct. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So the fact that hadlaka osa mitzvah by itself, is not necessarily a proof. I didn't bring up the Darkei Moshe on the tour. The Darkei Moshe on the tour. Darkei Moshe by the Ramon, his commentary on the... Alright, we'll come back to that. But the point is, the question is, even if hadlaka osa mitzvah, but let's say I did it and I moved it. So I got to light it again. But again, would you light it without a bracha? It's not so clear. Like, it's not so clear in the posting that they would go so far to say that it's no, you have to light it without a bracha. Now, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the Tshuvas, in the Sefer, in his commentary on the Tur, in the Sefer Mor of Tzir, writes the following. This is in the Mor of Tzir, in this siman of hadlaka osa mitzvah, Tafresh Ayin Hay. He says, Am I lo yotze? Why would, if you have the following case, okay? He holds that according to us, that light inside, if he quotes my back, according to us, the light inside, if you would light inside and then you brought it outside, so you're not yotze, says the back. So it says the Yakovendin, Kosla Teresa, Am I lo yotze? I feel a Kosla yotze. What do you mean? Even if you blow it out, it's okay. The Yisrael Malafila, the Rishon Leil, the Dr. Kovsa, Avokiva Lo Yotza. The Hachanami Kikiba Yadav Dami. He says if the guy went ahead, again, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, right? So the Bach discussed Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. I did the Hadlaka in the right place. And then I moved the menorah someplace else, which is not the right place. Okay? Or Yotze, in that case, so the Bach entertains the possibility that not. So the Akadam is honestly a wine or not. Even if it blew out, it's okay. Kavsa Ein Zochik Lo. So he says, yeah, Kavsa Ein Zochik Lo, when you didn't do a Maisha B'Yadayim to destroy it. But if you did an action like blowing it out, or like taking it outside, then you wouldn't be Yotze. So again, the fact that Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah is not going to answer our question automatically either. Yes?
Maybe Mashiach comes into the
Rosa.
He's lighting it, and then he has Hadlaka.
Excellent.
Mashiach wasn't going to move to a place.
Very good. So give me 1 second, I'll come back. Also, I already decided how to save time, but the Beis Yosef, also commenting on the Sahara, brings to the Muke Yosef, a case of lighting in shul where apparently, again, we have to understand, in the olden days, when they had electricity, so the candles were lit every night, because that's how they had light. So they lit the Hanukkah candles in one place, but whatever it is, they didn't want to really leave it there. So they moved it to the place where they have all the other candles burning, and the etiquette says it's no good. So again, it could be for the same reason that the Yaakov Emden mentioned. I'm just saying maybe in an earlier source. But now we come to the point that Shimon mentioned, and I think it's an excellent point, because, again, yeah, I'm sorry.
Before you answer that question, yeah. Why is moving it struck up? What does that mean?
Because now it is no longer in a place where you're going to get persimmonies. We're talking about moving it to a place where there's no persimmonies anymore. They moved it there, basically. Yeah, they moved it to another place where they're not going to get the persimmonies for whatever reason.
Right.
Like in a backyard or something.
Right, from one person to
another person. Right, without the Achronim talking, that's okay. The whole house is considered one place for that. But let's say he was going to take it, our guy is reading, so he's going to take it outside, you know, let it burn out outside, then it won't burn my house down in case there's a problem, you know, just to land them on the cement.
He's on the curb,
they have to be the most. That's right. What? Yes, but they say no. So why? So the Achronim says, because that's like physically blowing it out. And physically blowing out, you're not supposed to do, according to him. But again, what I'm trying to point out is even though Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah doesn't automatically mean that once you've lit it, it's over with. So there's not necessarily a rise in there. But, and the reason why, I think it was Shane mentioned before, because here we have a unique situation. This guy, until now we've been talking about somebody who, let's go to the Kavsa Zucker, the Rosh Bloss case. He lit the candles, and he had every intention of letting everything go fine. Then he noticed that it was flickering, so he tried to fix it, he knocked it out by mistake. Or for whatever reason, he decided then to blow it out. But at least at the time of Hadlaka, he wasn't planning to blow it out. Our guy, in the case that we started with, is planning at the moment of the Hadlaka to blow it out. Now, where do we see that that makes a difference? One could argue, well, who cares? That's a din by, you know, by Kudshim, for example, by Karbonas, we find that Machshava is, you know, can ruin it. If you have the wrong thought, huh?
Pigo,
exactly. That's the classic case in Torah. You have the wrong, but that's a din in Karbonas. Where do we find that, you know, you're planning to do something later? Lamaisa, I did the action. I lit the candle. So where do we find that it makes a difference? So there is actually an interesting parallel in Hilchos Shabbos. Although Hilchos Shabbos could be different for certain reasons too. But for this, we're going to try and equate them. In Hilchos Shabbos, or Chaim Shimon Shin Yud Zion, we find the following case. Tying knots on Shabbos. So in order to be violating the Isser of tying knots on Shabbos, you have to tie what's called a Kesher Shel Kayon. It has to be a knot that lasts. A good knot, and a knot that lives. So the Taz in Sukkot Aleph of that siman says basically that he says that the it's the type of thing where he has in mind, or his intent is it's the intent of the person, it's the intent of the Adam that makes a difference. And he's lighting it. I'm not lighting. He's tying it in such a way that he has intent to make it strong and to make it live. This is my exact words. I can't find the exact words now. Here. Kol poli v'das ha'odam ha'kosher. Says the Taz. It depends on the das, the intent of the person who's doing the tying. Okay? If he's in mind to Yishar King Olam, and he's going to keep it there, you know, for a long time, then it's a Keshel Kamas, not Nas. So the Taz brings up this concept that it depends upon the das of the person. It's interesting that the Mishnah Brura, in the same Siman Shin Yod Zion, in our Chaim, the Mishnah Brura has almost, I'm going to say verbatim, very, very close to the language of the Taz, but that phrase is different. In Siman Shun Yud Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah has a little hakdama, no sif cotton, it's a little hakdama to the sif, and he says, Shadarko Sheyeshar Kach La'olam. In other words, he doesn't say that it's up to this guy. He said, what's the norm? But at least according to the Taz, we do find that an Isser on Hilchos Shabbos can depend upon the intent of the person at the time that he does it. Right? The Mishnah Berurah doesn't say like that. The Mishnah Berurah says it goes by what's normal. Is this the type of knot that people normally tie for an extended period of time? Yes, then it's a keshokah. Not. But the Taz depends on a person. So one could, at least possibly, bring that comparison over to our case and say, well, the same thing. If it works by classifying a maisa as a maisa vera, maybe it could work for classifying something as a maisa mitzvah. Well, we say hadlokos mitzvah, but his intent can ruin it. His intent to blow it out can destroy the action, just like his intent, according to the Taz, not to make this a permanent knot, can remove it from the status of a permanent knot, even though most people do it that way. Yeah.
But there's a
correct. There are many different categories out there. Furthermore, Shabbos you have Melechus Machsheves as an additional point. Correct. I just bring up though that we do have, at least on the books somewhere, a case where a person's intent can help define something. But I don't mean to say that on the contrary. I agree. Again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't accept it there. Right. But at least according to that Taz, maybe it does make a difference. But I think you can't really compare them. So I think, again, that's a reason to allow our guy to blow it out. Because what do you mean? Who cares what he had in mind? He did a mitzvah, right? He had in mind he's going to blow it out in 5 minutes. That's not enough to destroy the action. Very possible. Oh, so that's a question whether yeah, maybe I may come to that. Yeah.
By two
shaykhs,
we have this issue of the concept of Kabbalah. And we said, if you hear it, but you have in mind that Hashem, I don't want you to keep.
Oh, very good. Well, so hold the thought.
Concept.
Right. So hold the thought. We'll come back to that. Okay. So now the third sugya that I want to look at, we go back to an earlier Gemara on Chaf Aleph Mabez, which is really the next sugya. All of this assumes, we've all been assuming, and Ed even mentioned it, we've all been assuming this business about half an hour, you know, have to burn a half hour. Who says? Right, where does that come from exactly? So the truth of the matter is the Gemara is not as clear as we would perhaps think it would be. The Gemara brings up in the context of the machlokas where the kavs we started with, kavs zokkel versus kavs ein zokkel, the Gemara brings up the following question. How can you say, where it says, the kavs ein zokkel, is that true that if it blows out you don't have to relight it? Or aminu, mitzvasa mishatishka chama ad shetichle regel min ashuk. The famous statement that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah begins Mishatishka, when the sun sets. Now, we're not going to go to that problem now, what it means when the sun begins to set, or when it gets dark, whatever it means, Shkia or Devachon, okay, but when the sun sets, Ad Shetich Levegam Ashuk, until people are no longer traveling in the streets, right? There's nobody around outside. So my love, what does that mean? What do I mean that that's the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Says the Gemara, sounds like my love, the kavsa, hada madlikol. Doesn't that mean that if it goes out, you have to relight it? Isn't that what that statement is saying? Okay, that's the isn't that what that Maseches from Maseches Sofer? It's a bright from Maseches Sofer in Parakhaf Alachadal. Isn't that what the bright is saying? The bright is saying that the midst of Nechanaka is from the sunset or when it gets dark, whatever definition of Tishka we accept for now, until Ashtip Lavegam and Ashur. So doesn't that mean that during that time it goes out, they have to relight it? They have to say Kavsa Ein Zakukla. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Someone says, no, lo, not true. What it means is the Elo Adlik Madlik. No, what it means to tell you is that that's the proper slot. That's the proper time slot. That if you didn't light, you're supposed to light starting from any time between when the sun sets, okay, and, you know, when people stop traveling the streets. That's all that Bryce and Maseches Sofer is telling us. It's not telling us that if it goes out, you have to relight it. It's telling us, when do you have to do the Maisa Hadlaka? When do you have to do the act of lighting Chanukah candles? You know when? From the time the sun sets until people, so when it, during that slot, preferably at the beginning. But, you know, it's reason my demon, etc. But, you know, sometime during that slot. That's one answer the Gemara gives, therefore it's no kasha. It's got nothing to do with kapsa zakkala or not kapsa zakkala. It's just telling you that's when you're supposed to light. Inami, the inami, or another possibility is l'shiura. It's telling you a shiur. What is a shiur? So it says Rashi l'shiura, sheyehei ba shemen kashir hazeh. that you have to light it with enough oil to be able to burn for that length of time, between shtia and when people no longer, and that's what we usually assume is a half an hour, because the Rambam mentioned half hour, there's a different time, but we hear about Tichas and Shah, and I was around a half hour. That's what it's telling you. But, says Rashi, Umilim comes saying Zakura, but if it goes out, it goes out. The point is, when you do the Maisa Hadlaka, there has to be enough oil for potentially to last for half an hour, for that time slot. Okay, so that's really the sugya that tells you how long, it's strange really, but that's the Gemara, which talks about how long the Chana candles have to burn. It was brought in as a kasha, and that's the Gemara. Now, as I said, this is what we've been assuming there's a shear, but the question is, how do these two answers interface with each other? The Gemara has an inami. There's an interesting question. The Tosus asked the following, the Elo Adlik Madlik. And again, as I said, I just wanted to use this question as an opportunity to look into some of the key sugyas. So it says, the Elo Adlik Madlik. Yes, so Avon Mikan Ba'elech Avar Hazman. Sounds like after that, mitzvah is over. Omer Harid Parz, the Yesh Lizar Al-Hadlik Bilal Miyad Shol Yachas Midat. Fine. Umikol Mokom Im Icher Yadlik Misofik. He says like this. Wait a second. What does this Gemara mean? The Gemara seems to say that, according to the first answer, that the time to light Chanukah candles is between when it gets dark, sunset, and Asher Tichlo Rekem Hashuk. People are no longer traveling the streets. Well, and what if it's after that? What if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever, it's 11:30 at night, and your town there's nobody around, so in the olden days people would venture out in the streets, you know, past when it was dark, you know, a half hour later. So says, it looks like, don't do the mitzvah, the mitzvah is done. Right? Every mitzvah is a certain time slot. If you missed it, you missed it. Right? I mean, one could certainly make such a case. That's the time, and the mitzvah is these hours, and if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. The Tosus says, but if Lameister, if the question comes up, says Tosus, you light again later anyway, but me suffic. Why? Because since the Gemara had two answers, maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it's not talking about when you're supposed to light, but rather how much oil you have to do it. So if the second answer is right, then you can light any time during the course of the night. In fact, the Rosh Hashanah, and I bring with me the Rosh Hashanah, and this sugya says, you know, we have a Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says all night mitzvahs are kosher all night long. Any mitzvah you do it, eating matzah, whatever, you do it all night long. So the Rosh Hashanah says the same thing should be true of Mechanica, any time during the night. Theoretically, you do it 3:30 in the morning. Why? What does this Gemara mean over here? They're telling you the proper time, the lechatchila time, the mitzvah namukhar time is to light at an early spot. But if you didn't, you light it later. But Tosus says we suffic. The Afghan sounds like suffic would mean like you wouldn't make a bracha. That's interesting. Okay? The Rambam disagrees with this whole thing. The Rambam says, wait a second. And the story is, the Gemara has two answers, but it's not a machlokas. It's not a machlokas, one guy. Gemara has two interpretations of what the phrase means. But in theory, they could both be right. And those both things may be true halachically. The Gemara is debating how do we resolve that kasha? The Gemara gave two answers how to resolve the kasha. It doesn't mean that they're arguing. Tosus sounds like there's two different theories, so it's like a machlokas. But it's not really presented. It's not like Rav so-and-so said, this is what it means. Rav this and this said, that's what it means. And now it's a machlokas. So we don't have any stuff like you should what? No, it's just two terutzim, but it's two terutzim to a question. It's teretz A, teretz B, but both facts could be halakhically correct. The only question is, what applies to our case? But lamais, they could both be correct. And that's certainly how the Rambam seems to understand it. No, why can't you say you have to have enough oil in it to burn for half an hour, and when do you light it? You have to light Mr. Tishka, I just think, well, not for half an hour, so I have to have enough oil to burn for that slot, and that's when you have to light. Forget the half hour. That's what I'm showing the Rambam right now, and it could be the Rashi holds that way. It's the same Rambam we started with, it's Perek Dal Halacha Zion, Perek Dal Halacha, the Rambam from before, Perek Dal Halacha Hey, but I didn't read the whole thing. Here it says the Rambam, Ein Madlikin Neros Chanukah Kodem Mishatishka Achama Elin Im Shkiyosa. Rambam says with the setting of the sun, that the people follow the Rambam light Hakat sunset. You know, that's what we call sunset. Lo Ma'akim Lo Ma'akdinim, you should not do later than that, not earlier than that. Shachach Ohizi Velo Hidlik Im Shkiyosa. And the Rambam says there's one time to light Chanukah candles, at sunset. If you weren't able to, Shachach Ohizi Velo Hidlik Im Shkiyosa Achama, Madlik Beholech, you may light candles, you know, till when? Period. Okay, that's the end. The proper time to light Hanukkah is, you know when? According to the Rambam, at sunset. That's when. Okay. Oh, that's a major problem because obviously Erev Shabbos you can't do that, and that's one of the kashas of the Rosh Hashanah. ask, doesn't ask on the Rambam. The Rashbo raises that question, and everybody struggles to figure out. So some people say Rashbo says, well, you know, any night you can light early as long as it can burn till later. So say it's the same thing, but it's a little bit difficult because there's a huh? What? Yeah, okay, but still you can't, that's true, but it's still daytime also. So, Rav Soloveitchik and others have suggested that you have to, in the Talmud Tohar, really, you have to say, with regards to Erev Shabbos, it's already considered, because there are dinim of Shabbos that apply on Erev Shabbos, such as the Ola Hachanas for Shabbos, and also the Rambam speaks about lighting Shabbos candles, and it already has the din of Shabbos, so to speak. I mean, there's more lumpness to it than that, but just in a nutshell, that's the answer. There are four raised the question, but there are ways, that's the spin, you see, there's a paper by Aaron Turchin, who's a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, called Kuntras Chanukah and Megillah. No yeshivas, they learn the same. So I think that's the first essay in the Chanukah section, is to resolve this. But anyway, that's a famous question. But my point is, listen to what the Rambam says. He says, Shachar Hizbo, Hidlik, Kimshkis, Hamadlik, the Holy Chas, Tifa, Gonashuk, Bekama, Huzman, Zer, Kemochasi, Shir, O Yetzer. Around a half hour, a little bit more or less. Omar, Huzman, Zer, Eino, Madlik. Not like Tosa says Misafei, not like Rashbo says all night. You blew it from that time, okay, you're out, you missed it. You couldn't do the mitzvah, it happens. That's what the Rambam says. But his point, Betzorach shitein shemen b'ner, kidei shititolekes v'olekes atchitich l'regel v'nashuk. There has to be enough oil. What it sounds like the Rambam is saying is, let's take the following. Let's say you couldn't light a shia. It was 15 minutes after shia, so you're still within his 30 minutes. You know how much oil you have to put in then? Only 15 minutes worth. Because you only have to have enough oil, says the Rambam, to burn until that cutoff point. And if you're like 2 minutes before, you have to put in 2 minutes worth of oil. That's not the proper thing. That's the Rambam clearly calls that to the Evid. He says, Shachach ohizid below hiblik. If you didn't do it at the right time, that's what you have to do. But Lamaisa, that is the cutoff point. I mean, and it could be that Rashi agrees with that. Not necessarily. Rashi could be saying, you know, because the way Rashi says it, Sheyehebo Shemen Kashir Zed. You know, you have to have sun, oil for that amount of time. Does he mean like the Rambam or not? I'm not sure. But certainly the Rambam is clear. So if you lighten, so the idea is, that's the sheet of the Rambam. Now, the fact is, let me just finish this train of thought. The fact is, there's further discussion, because Tosus mentioned, okay, Ulari, Tosus says, that same Tosus before, the Elo Adlik Madlik, Ulari near the Akta Ain Lachosh Mosai Adlik, the Ano Ain Amo Hakera Elo Devais Ramalikin Mufnim. We light indoors, so we don't have to worry about this whole business of Achatich Regiman Ashok, we don't have to worry about it. Well, guess what? The fact is that there are the discussion in Rishonim, do you have to worry about that whole length of time? Do you have to worry about that whole thing? Do you have to have it for a half hour? Who says? So the half hour, maybe, you know, connected to this, may or may not be, depends how you read the Gemara, and depends how you read the interface between the two statements in the Gemara. But the fact is, one could claim that that's not connected. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch, as we see, says it has to run a half hour, but that may be only the proper way to do it. The Rabbeinu Tam, but not necessarily cool, the Rabbeinu Tam in his Sefer Yosher, in Simon Shin Mem, he writes that Ner Chanukah, he's talking about the brachas here, so he says the brachas is lihat lichner with a lamed, so he says, that's his issue here, so he says, the Chanukah candles, Yeshlan Zman, Shetar, Shehid, Boshemen, Lios, Dolekas, Mishatishka, Chama, Atzu, Tichar, Gmanashuk, Bimlo, Nosan, Lo, Yosher. Okay? And after God, the Kav Zayn Zachal, but Mitzvah Tzorech. And then the Talmud says, I know Kav Zayn Zachal, but you still have to have enough oil to burn a half hour. If it goes out, it goes out. But you have to put that in. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam seems to learn. But the fact is, there are other Rishonim who don't say like that. The Rav Yoh, for example, in the Simon, in the Hilchos Chanukah, in Simon the Tav Mem Gimel, the Rashbo writes, he quotes a different Rabbeinu Tam, I quote Rabbeinu Tam from somewhere else. But the same Rabbeinu Tam, you see, the Bahani Travaya is little Lakula. Guess what? We have the two opinions of the Gemara. He said we can go lakula in both directions. Bahani lakula, what does it mean? Bishira over the idlik themselves so from halakha chamekah. Let's remember, Nechanukah is in Darbona anyway. So Safa Darbona lakula. So he said, number one, we don't have to be so makbid about the shir. And number two, we don't have to be, you can light later on. So that's how the Rav Yoh says. And in the footnote, they point to another Rashbo later, Rav Yoh later. He says it's from Ferguson in Top Kufayin Dave. He writes as follows: Near Beinai Anad Davina Neros Kanan the Lekha Shira. Apparently, his day they used very thin candles that didn't have that shear. They didn't have the shear of a half an hour. From Chinan, Asin, Yerkamo, we're relying on that the Gemara never said anything about a length of time. We for the first answer. In other words, depends, like I said before, how you look at the interface of those two answers in the Gemara. We can ignore the Shir. Inam and the Shiura was the second answer. But maybe the first answer is correct, in which case we have no specific statement in the Gemara anywhere about how long it has to be. And the Rabbi says people practically rely on that. The Gandhi really, the Avlachas, the Tikkur, Manasuk, Mutra, Lahabri. But the same way the other way. He said if after nobody's in the street anymore, you can still light because maybe it's a Shir, right? In other words, what he's called double dip, right? You can take it on both sides. So the Rav Yoha like that, and the Or Zeruah also in Simcha Beis also says that we're not so makbid. These are Rishonim talking. Okay, we're not necessarily so makbid about the Shir. At the end of Simcha Beis, he says, "Idna lo kabdina na shiura dener shema samkina lishma kama." Right, very similar to Rav Yoha. So you have Rishonim who are saying, well, we're not necessarily so specific about the length of time in terms of the Shir. Okay, now, in the Yad,
I ask, for those people who say that the camera has to be lit,
yeah,
to go down, which camera will go down? I want to say, it's a different act. So in other words, the
minimally one. That's a good question. Minimally one. Minimally one. I would say that the basic mitzvah is one. However, if you want to, again, you're allowed. I didn't read inside. The Magen Avraham says you should try and relight them and so on. He means all of them. But strictly speaking, one will be enough. Yeah.
Or you could say, in terms of the shiur of the tree, that it's actually might require a larger shiur.
Right, correct.
I'm lighting at 7:30.
But it's got.
And
Ein Hakanami, the poskim will say that. Our definition of Atzatikha Rekha Meshuk, and there is an Indian to have the oil burning for hours. I forgot that I saw it, but I've definitely seen in print that there are people who will, say, yeah, Ein Hakanami, you have to take it the other way. Again, as Rav Yoh said, Nechag is in Drabbanon, there's only to make on Drabbanon, but still, Ein Hakanami, there are shittas like that that a half hour is not enough. You have to have it for a much longer period of time. I don't mean New York City all night long, I don't know, but yeah. Yeah.
And the understanding is what's the Sunnisa. In other words, if it's half an hour, so you have enough time to do this mitzvah for Sunnisa. Know that the first half an hour, no one walks by and don't Sunnisa.
Okay, yeah.
So, but if it's for yourself.
Maybe one second. It's definitely possible. I have to tip off now. I don't really know we'll see in a second what people say, but I'm not convinced that the upshot of all of this. Well, let me just come back to the point in a second. Lemaisa, as I said, in the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to be a half hour. But again, the Levush, right, that's more or less in the realm of minutes. It's a preparation, I am days. This day, he says, "Honest and abikin b'fnim ein chashash kol kach b'shir." There's no big issue about the shir. Ubizman hadlaka elah, or about the time. Both again, elah kolz man shebnei abayis neorim yochel hadlik neam yochel mitzvahs. Right, any time people in the house are up, it's good enough. However, even noah again, it's customary. See, hey shir lefachos yadu b'dei chatzisah. Right, customary, it's proper. Okay, we call up here. So that's how the post can say. I mean, others say it's likuva, but I think a strong case can be made, really, that there's room for maneuverability here. Surprisingly, I mean, before you would have asked me, guys, gonna light Hanukkah, I'm gonna blow it out in 1 minute. Of course, no, how can you even entertain it? But if you put everything together, everything we said, you say Kav Sein Zakhava, we say Hadlaka Osamitsu, we say maybe his intent doesn't matter, because the Taz Sedan and Shabura says by the not intent, intent doesn't matter. And we're saying that anyway, the whole concept of a Shir, is we're more lenient about that today. Again, at least, I'm not saying that a guy, we should go out of our way to recommend that somebody do this, but if a guy goes ahead to do it, I really think that, that a case can be made. One other relevant maramokom, it's based on a rush, but it's in the Rif. The Rif on that same sugya, he understands the whole concept a little differently than Rashi. As a question of the proper girsa here, the Rif is on page, Testament Aleph on the page of the Rif and Shabbos. So the Rif's lesson is on that Gemara, Inami L'Shiura, what does Shiura mean? So it's in parentheses here. It says, that was Rashi. He said that, but someone knocked that out. Inami, Shem Haisa Dolekes Olechas, Rashir Zeber, Rotso Lechavoso, if it, he learns it, means if it's gone up until that point, then you can blow it out. Okay, that's just a side point in terms of what it says. But in the Shilte Giborim here, Oz Hey, he says the following. What if you lift the menorah in a place where it's windy? Well, you know pretty clearly it's going to, most likely going to blow out. So the Shilte Giborim says, even though you don't have to relight it if it goes out, number one, you got to have enough oil in there. The whole idea is you got to put enough oil for a half hour, yeah? But you did that, you left it a place and it go out. That's no different than leaving a place that you're not having enough oil in. So according to Shulchan Giborim, that would be an answer to our question. You wouldn't be able to do it. However, not everyone agrees with that, because Shlomo Kluger, in the Tshuva Salah of Shlomo, and this will finish up, in Simon Shin Ayin Ches, disagrees. And he says, even though some people say, what I think, is he quotes those who say the other way, the Mukhuk Lehipuch. Okay, calls the say atzmo habi royalis nisher kach rak dover acher gorim olis batel as dinam bosa hasha. At the time I lit it, could it survive? Yeah. Now maybe it's going to be windy later. I have to consider that something else. It was another action. Now again, in our case, it's not another action. It's the guy himself. But at the end of the day, what I've tried to demonstrate is that I think that there is room, at least entertain, being makel and saying, you know what? If the guy's got to leave, he's got to leave. However, I'll just close by pointing out that the two contemporary posts that I found that discuss this issue, Chaim Kanievsky, in the Sefer Time of the Korah, which is on Chumash, he has a little, some information on Hanukkah, in between Parshas Vayeshev and Mikates, a little bit about Hanukkah. So he says it appears to him that if a person blows it out and puts it in a place where it's not going to last, then it would not be any good. That's, you know, he mentions that. That's one thing. On the other hand, he says at the end, Sarach Ian. So he's Makatzer. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a longer tshuva about it in Chelek Beis, the tshuva is Minuch Shlomo, and Simon Nun Aleph in Oz Beis is a long tshuva, and he concludes that they think they're not allowed to blow it out. Someone mentioned before about Kavana, right? In other words, it's like the guy has Kavana low lot face. Right, he has like kavana not to be yotzei the mitzvah. That's, we know that the thought does make it, but he's lighting candles now, and he has kavana to blow it out. It's like he has kavana not to be yotzei. I was unconvinced by that because it's a little circular, you know. Because what do you mean? If he yotzei, then it's not kavana shalom lotzeis. It's only kavana shalom lotzeis if you're talking not yotzei. That's what struck me. I mean, already offer tachas kapos lagvam. I'm not arguing with Shlomo. Huh? Right. But the other point that brings an interesting point, this will finish, it was Nogea last night, it'll be Nogea next Friday night. The Gemara discovered, hopefully not Nogea to any of us, but the Gemara says in the end of the Sukkah in Hanukkah, that let's say a person's poverty stricken, and he has enough money either for candles for Hanukkah or candles for Shabbos. What does he do? The Gemara says candle for Shabbos wins because of Shalom Bayis, after the Rambam concludes the Chos Hanukkah, the end of Zman, very beautiful. Okay, Shalom Bayis wins. Okay, so there's the Shlomo Zalman. What do you mean? If it, let him light the Hanukkah, let's blow it out, then relight it, use it as a Shabbos candle. But since you're right to solve the problem, why is the Gemara even have a problem? According to, if we're going to let this guy blow it out, he got both with one. So I thought that was a fairly disparate. That's a pretty good chav. So Lamai said both of Shlomo Zalman and of Hanukkah. Right, so that was my answer, because that was my problem there, is that Shabbos may be different. Even though we pass the Tzumach HaDeshim says that even if it blows out on Erev Shabbos before Shabbos ever started, you still don't have to. He calls the Ein Zakeh Kvar even then, which is a Chiddush, but that's the Tzumach HaDeshim, okay? But still, you could argue the guy, maybe, you're right, maybe it's still different because it wasn't even in the time yet. So neither raya is a knockout raya. Nonetheless, that is a psaka of Shomazam, and that is a psaka of Chan Kareski. I'm certainly not going to argue, but based on the source, at least you can entertain the possibility, strange though it sounds, that maybe there's room to say that if a person has to run from him, and there's a word of a fire hazard, maybe he could blow it out even within a half hour. But again, I stress that Shomazam and Chan Kareski both don't seem to accept that, so that's how we would follow Halakha
Lamaisa.
I think that the post can say not. So even though... No, after half hour, the difference is after it's burned, it's okay. Yes, I said I think there's room to be lenient, but the regular postman we talk about it didn't say it, so I'm certainly not going to argue. I you shouldn't do it. I hope you shouldn't do it.